Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
In a world where very few people embrace their global identity and seek to understand their neighbors, cross-cultural expert Tayo Roxon is on a mission to bridge this divide. Each week, he'll open your mind with insights from some of the global minds in the world. Get ready, take some notes, and learn how to be the best you that you can be.
Welcome everybody to another episode of As Told by Nomads. Today's guest is Nate Menninger, and he's an American explorer, athlete, and freelance writer. He's addicted to traveling, and even more so, adrenaline. He is scuba dived in the Blue Hole in Belize with no experience, ran with the bulls in Pamplona, Spain, backcountry skied in Patagonia, hitchhiked through South America, played with the Israel national lacrosse team in an Israeli war zone. That's insane. And he's also bungee jumped, skydived, and much more. Today we're going to be talking about all these experiences, a 7-month journey through South America, how savings disappeared, and how he supplemented his journey with writing gigs and odd traveling jobs. Welcome to the show, Nate.
Woohoo! Let's do it.
Let's do it. Well, yo, so just tell us, how did you get started? What led you to want to do all these crazy things? And, you know, I just want to know the beginning. What's the beginning like for you?
I mean, that's a hard question. I don't really know how to pinpoint my love for adrenaline. I think I played sports my whole life, and adrenaline is very much a part of sports. And I think I just found this addiction. I traveled a lot as a kid, so that kind of implanted a sense of global understanding and a desire to travel. And then when you mix that with the sports and the adrenaline, I get into some weird situations.
Well, what sports did you grow up playing?
I played football, lacrosse, and I ran track and field. And in college, I did track and lacrosse. And who knows, might go back and play some more.
Well, I mean that must have been, you know, fun for you when you were playing with the Israeli national lacrosse team then, because, you know, you played that a lot growing up.
Yeah, that was a unique experience when we went over there and we played with them. And then I ended up playing on the team a few games later, but it was unique. You know, I remember there's bombs going off nearby and no one knew what it was. None of us knew. And, cause I was just going over there to play with them, you know?
Yeah.
And,
you weren't expecting all that.
And all of a sudden, I was like, what was that? And the little like 8-year old is just like, oh, don't worry. That's just a bomb. It's fine. I'm like, all right.
this begs the question. So in each of these countries is like, for example, Israel, Patagonia, you know, Pamplona, what are the things that you learned? I mean, do you find that there was any common thing that you learned in all these cultures that people like to experience, or maybe each of them were unique, but what did you learn about yourself in all these cultures?
I think every trip is unique. I think I learned the most about myself in the most recent trip when I went to South America for 7 months, because I was really, you know, on my own and surviving. I mean, that's what it boils down to. And I learned a lot about traveling. First of all, traveling is not easy. You know, it's very different from vacation, which a lot of people who travel know. And I think that I used to think anyone could travel. which I still do think, but you actually do have to be, to travel extensively and survive, you have to be very intellectual. You have to use your assets. You have to plan your journey. Where am I going to go? How am I going to get a job? You have to basically reimmerse yourself in every city you go to get a job and keep moving. And that's not easy.
No, I mean, I say this all the time, especially in the earlier episodes. There's a difference of vacation and also like traveling, like you said, because there's one that you actually have to almost act like a native. When you talk about immersing yourself in these cultures and learning how to get a job so you can survive, can you share some of your experiences and tips that people can take on? Because I have a lot of emails from people who tell me they want to do a year trip somewhere, but they're not sure how to approach it. They're not sure what to take into inventory or what to plan for. And I haven't traveled like you have in that way. So I'm curious as to what your response would be to that.
Well, first of all, you got to have enough money for the plane ticket.
Okay.
I guess there are ways to get around it. I know I met people that hitchhiked across the ocean. You can work a cruise job. You can do a couple websites where you can work on a boat and get across the ocean. There are ways. But easiest is obviously get a plane flight. And allot yourself a little bit of money just to get started. So it could just be like $1,000 for reserves. And then it really just boils down to outgoing, which people find it hard to be outgoing in America. I know sometimes I do, but when you're traveling, it doesn't matter because you're never going to see these people again. So you kind of enter a new phase where you just have to do it. If you aren't outgoing, you will not survive. You'll not meet the right people. You'll not find a place to live. Like you just won't survive. You won't find work. So it's kind of a survival technique. So it's easier than people think because it's a necessity.
So when you say outgoing, the immediate question that comes to mind then is, well, how can I make sure that I'm not getting now, a lot of people say they're afraid, right? That they're not getting into the wrong areas. You know, how do they know how to have that intellectual intelligence to know which is the safest spot? Is there any research they can do? Are there people they can talk to when they land to be able to figure out the lay of the land? And, you know, when you say outgoing, how did you get a job out of a situation where you thought maybe if you didn't tap into your social intelligence skills, you wouldn't have gotten otherwise?
Right. Well, to start off, if you need a home base, there's like websites like workaway.info, and the other one's called, there's a ton. Workaway.info, Wolf, Find a Crew. These are all sites where you go on and you exchange your services, your work, for food and a bed. So it's always a good place to get landed if you don't have any money or anything. But then, honestly, it's hard to really give advice on this because I think I lack a large percentage portion of the fear concept.
Well, you're living,
I end up in a lot of weird
though.
Situations. I think the most recent one, I was just.
I was gonna say, of course.
Yeah, exactly.
You live in adrenaline, so it's very you lack the fear aspect.
Right. Exactly. I guess I process fear. I just kind of just dismiss it. I don't know. But for example, the last time I ended up, and I was coming from an island in Brazil. And I was taking the boat back and I was on the street looking for a place to stay, right? I had to make it to the center of Rio and I didn't know what bus to take. You know, I'm looking like a stupid traveler with my big backpack. So I use what Portuguese I know at the moment and I start talking to some lady on the street. And next thing you know, I'm sleeping in her house, which is like in a favela on the floor for like 8 days. Because she was just like, you should come by and, you know, see if there's internet. And, next thing you know, I'm just with her family, sleeping on the floor of her house in the middle of like the heart of Brazil, favela, and it was incredible. But I don't think a lot of people would do that. Point is, you have to be trusting of other people, but you have to be cognizant that, you know, some situations might be sketchy. So one time I got offered a place to live in a house, for example, and I'd already lived with two men for free. Like they had just asked me to live in their penthouse apartment or asked me to live in some other place. And I accepted it. And the third time, it was like every city I was going to, I was getting offered to stay for free. And this person was very nice, but quickly realized they were an alcoholic. So I found it best not to accept the offer. That's what I mean by cognizant.
No. And it does sound like, you're going to have to learn a lot by, you know, trial by error. You make some mistakes, but that's part of being comfortable, being uncomfortable, and being able to put yourself out there. But if you don't put yourself out there, you're not going to actually benefit at all.
Yeah, I mean, I wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah.
Being uncomfortable is the best part about traveling, I think.
I agree. I think one of my best experiences was getting lost in Greece with my friends and just trying to figure out how to get back to the home base. But, you know, we sort of discovered the city inadvertently by
getting lost.
Exactly.
At the moment, it's not the funnest. You know, you might not have food or water. But if you survive, in the end, you'll look back and you'll say, wow, that was a good moment. You know, the darkest moments is when you learn the most, I guess. It's cliche, but true.
I agree. The 7-month trip that you took through South America, how many countries did you visit?
I actually only went to 4 countries.
That's fine. That's still through South America, though. Yeah, so what 4 countries?
So I started in Argentina and went to Chile, made my way through Chile, through Argentina to Uruguay, and then back to Brazil. So I didn't go through that many countries, actually, because I really wanted to, like, learn the culture, meet the people. So I invested, like, a month in every place I went to.
Mm. Well, let's talk about the 4 countries then. So, first of all, which was your favorite?
My favorite country is Brazil, I think. And, I mean, the people were just incredibly nice. I was at the end of my trip. I was a little depressed because I really wanted to see my family. And I was sick of eating rice and hot dogs every day. So that kind of mixed in, but I really like the country. The people are so nice. The language was a new language for me, which I ended up learning very quickly. And I just, like, I fell in love with the culture and the people. And it wasn't the most beautiful place I ever went, but it was the best country, I guess.
Best country. All right. And now, were you there during a lot of the during the Olympics?
I actually wasn't. I was in Patagonia. I was living in a mountain at a ski area. Or in a van. I'm not really sure. I don't remember where I was at the moment.
You're definitely an adventure guy. Okay, fine. So Brazil, you talked about the people being there, being nice and very friendly. What was Argentina like? And how did you said you wanted to immerse yourself in each of the cultures. So what were the things that you did to make sure that you, I guess, fit in, for lack of a better word, into Argentina, into Paraguay, into Chile, into Brazil?
Right. Well, I guess I'll start at the end. So in Brazil, obviously, I had to not wear a shirt for like 2 weeks straight because I was considered branquinho, which means little whitey, you know? So I had to adjust there, which is nice. It's summertime, you know? It's back here, it's winter, but it's summer there. So that was the main, most important thing. Next, I'd say, was living. I mean, I lived in the, you know, like practically a favela with a full-on Brazilian family. There's not one word of English, so you have no other choice but to assimilate, but to immerse yourself. And then you gotta just take adventures and go around the city, see what's good. I mean, acquaint yourself with the popular tourist attractions, which you always gotta do. And that was what I did in Brazil. In Uruguay, I worked 2 jobs. I worked with a family on a farm, which was different, I guess. It was fun. You're riding horses, you know, you're looking for ostrich eggs on the farm. You're eating eggs. I think I ate like eight eggs my first meal, in one meal.
Wow.
And I was just eating eggs. That was it. You ate them raw. You poked a hole in the top because the boss did it. The boss did it, I did it. So.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I ate that raw eggs. You just, you know, drink them like it's a water bottle. I don't know. It was weird. So I immersed there. Should I keep going?
Yeah. Keep going. This fascinates me.
I worked at another surf shop in Uruguay, which was just basic hostel job, which is always good to meet people. And then from there, you settle into other places, like in, I guess now it gets weird, in Chile. I lived a month in Mendoza. I worked a job, and then I found some people and found a cheap room, which was the size of Harry Potter's room under the closet. It was the smallest place in the earth. I slept on the floor, but it was very cheap. And I lived there. And before that, I'd come from a penthouse apartment in Chile, the center of Santiago, which someone had given to me for free. I met the guy. At the moment, I was living in a van in this mountain, and I was gonna buy one meal at the lodge because it was so expensive, and I was sick of eating the egg and cheese sandwiches, egg and sausage sandwiches every day for a week. So I said, I'm gonna buy one meal. And I bought this meal, and I talked to this dude, and in 5 minutes, he was just like, "Hey, you should check out this other place I got. Like, if you don't know where you're going back to Argentina, you should just like come by, check it out." And he offered it to me for free for the month.
Wow. Oh.
And, I went by, and I had no idea what it was going to be. And then it was, boom, it's like the nicest place I've ever lived in my life. And that was sweet. But also dumb. And I got in the van in the first place by following some dude I met at a bar for like an hour who invited me on the van trip. So there's kind of a repetition.
Oh, my gosh.
And I got on the van because I was actually living – with another random dude at the hostel who was like, "Hey, I'm going to buy a house. Do you want to stay there for a month?" And I was like, "Sure, fuck it," in the middle of the country. So I just say, I guess I don't know if I'm allowed to, but I say fuck it a lot, and I just go.
No, it's fine. I'm just picturing someone, a parent, listening to this and just saying, like, "What? Whoa." You know, someone wanted to send their kid out there for the first time. And the picture.
Right, I don't know if I would send this to my parents.
They would probably be horrified, but you know, at the same time, I'm amazed at the amount of confidence and trust you had. That's I mean, obviously you're back now in Pennsylvania, so I mean, obviously you made it out safely. But that's just incredible. I mean, you should, if you don't write a book on this, I think you'd be doing yourself a disservice, sir, because. You think? Oh my goodness! My 7-month journey across South America and what I learned. Perfect title. Definitely.
I guess you could. The thing is, you meet people that are like, imagine me, just like someone who's 10 times more incredible. I met someone who traveled for 3 years, and each year they hadn't spent more than $2,400.
Goodness, my goodness.
And I was like, what? He had no phone. He had no computer. I was like, dude, what? And then how am I going to write a book when there's someone doing a 2-year journey?
You got to start with your story, Nate, because your story is unique. I can guarantee you your story is ready. I mean, it's blown me away. I mean, I can't imagine how many other people it would, because it's got that adrenaline vibe to it. And that's something that you're all about. So, but, you know, speaking of your type of mindset and the type of person you are, you wanted to prove, or you still want to prove, that everything is possible, no matter how difficult or dangerous something seems. And that's kind of what's informed every decision that you've made. Why do you want to prove that?
I don't really know. You know, a lot of travelers complain about how other people want to travel, and they say it's too hard. Like, you know, I have a job, I have all this stuff, which is a good point. If you're a traveler, you want other people to travel and experience the world. I think that mine's not necessarily about traveling. If you don't want to travel, don't travel. I'm not going to convince you to travel. But I like to run with the bulls. I like to do the craziest things to show that anything really is possible the harder you try. So if you're backcountry skiing in the middle of Patagonia, you know, on some knife sheer edge, and you got crampons, eye sack. I want to do that to show people later and inspire them, really, and show and inspire them to do what they want to do, I guess. And then through your travels, you also meet a bunch of people, like I just told you, that guy who traveled for so long on no money, who are also inspiring. And I really would love to just take all the stories from all the people you meet, the tattoo artists, the Formula One drivers, and put them in one place so everyone can go there and find out what it is they want to do, research it, whether it's, you know, being a master chef or, I don't know, making cupcakes and the favela, I don't know, but they can find it out, and that would be the ultimate goal.
And I think there's also an element of self-discovery that one experiences, and I can imagine you've learned a lot by yourself, you know, in the last year, and you've probably done more than you even thought that you could do prior to traveling.
Yeah, I think actually the one thing I learned, my original goal was to go through every country, go from Brazil back down across and up to Colombia, but in the end, I realized the only thing I truly needed was my family. So I had a little epiphany. I was sitting at a table with the whole family and the relatives and everyone. And that would normally be awesome. You know, you're completely immersed. And I just kind of got pretty sad at the moment. I said, what am I doing traveling? You know, like, I just left my family, everyone, like, just to do this, which is what? You know? And I just realized, wow, family for me. Is one of the most important things. And you realize that when you're traveling, relationships, at least for most travelers, become everything. And one of the worst parts is saying goodbyes. And you always have to say goodbyes. Always.
I can imagine. And
yeah, always, because you move on. And I just learned that family's good. So instead of continuing on, I bought a plane ticket and came home. And I'll restart the journey after.
And now you're back home, and what you're doing, I'm a big fan of it, is you've created a website called thepathfinder.co, and you've got a podcast, you share crazy stories, you share adventures. You know, what is thepathfinder.co for those that might not know what it is?
Yeah, well, it's basically what I just explained, the fact of getting all these crazy artistic, athletic, and musical adventures in one place. So people around the world can all submit articles. You get all these stories in one place, and you can go on and you can, you know, say, you know, I always wanted to be a Formula One driver, but I'm not really sure how. Well, hopefully when I meet that Formula One driver, you can go on there and you can see their story and you can learn how to enter the field yourself. Or you can just read through these stories and be entertained. And that's the whole point. And the podcast is like firsthand interviews, kind of like this, which what you're doing, but only about the extreme realm. So you have the guy who does the drug in the heart of the Amazon, or a Israeli soldier who got involved in some serious stuff. And that's the whole point. Yeah. I mean, that's all I can say.
You're basically giving people a chance to be able to see a whole new world through your platform. You know, they get to come on and relive some of the experiences that a lot of people have had, and hopefully get inspired by that and realize that, you know, impossible literally says, I'm possible. So, you know, it's one of those things that, Yeah, I know. That's a different way.
I'm like, whoa, I never thought about that.
Yeah. That's what it literally says. It's right there. So it's all about a perspective. And I think that's what you're giving the readers out there, a perspective that they might not otherwise have experienced. So, you know, I love that you're doing that. I love that you're so honest about the experiences as well, because you're talking about the good and the bad. But at the end of the day, for you, what that trip did was remind you of the important things to you. For another person, it could be another thing. But that's really cool that you're able to be as open with that as you are.
Yeah, that's, I think honesty is key. Otherwise, it's not a good story.
This is true. Okay, I'm going to do some rapid fire questions before we close.
All right, let's do it.
Okay. Okay. Wow. I was thinking of all the four countries. Now I got to think. Okay. Country with the best food.
Spain.
Country with the best music.
Brazil.
Best sport in the world.
American football.
Okay. So I'm guessing you're a Steelers fan.
No. They just moved here, my parents. I'm from Boston.
Oh, hey, wait. Are we both Patriots fans?
I mean, I bleed blue and red.
Okay, so that's the only Boston team I support. So I'm a Patriots fan. Die hard. Really sad that Gronk is out for the year, but
yeah, this is overlapping with the game actually.
Yeah, so we're gonna wrap up really soon. We're gonna wrap up now. Don't worry, because I already had that in my mind too. But okay, and then country that you felt the most at home with. I know you said you wanted to come home, but what country that you felt the most at home was where?
Spain. I think I'm gonna go back and recorrect the food one and go either like France or Turkey or. I don't know.
All right. France, Turkey, and Spain combination for food. All right. But as we are, audience, you're listening, we're both Patriots fans. We want to go watch the game. But, Nate, tell us where we can find you and tell us what you're up to next.
Well, my name is Nate Menninger. You can find me probably by Google.
That's a good start. But your website and your Instagram and, you know, all those type of things.
Is thepathfinder.mag, M-A-G for magazine. And my email is also thepathfinder.mag@gmail.com. And feel free to email me anything. As you can tell, I'm a pretty honest dude. I'll try and be as best as I can answering your questions.
All right. Well, website, thepathfinder.co, Instagram, thepathfinder.mag, and thepathfindermag@gmail.com.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thepathfinder.mag.
Thepathfinder.mag. Okay. The Pathfinder.mag. And I'll make sure to put all this in the show notes. The last question I always ask my audience is this. How are you using your difference to make a difference, sir?
I think my difference is being different. I don't think I'm very normal. I think I just really want to bring people together around the fact that even though we're all different, you know, in times like these when the election is, I was away from it for 7 months, but coming back, you really see divided people, family members splitting up, girlfriend, boyfriend getting into it. And I just realized, like, it's going to work out. I guess that's how millennials think. You don't have to be dumb. You don't have to be ignorant. But I think find a middle ground and come together. I mean, sounds cheesy, but
hey,
I'm definitely into that.
That's perfect. And that's a great way to use your difference to make a difference. Well, Nate, I want to thank you for coming on the show. And thank you for sharing all the experiences that you've had. And definitely we'll be putting this out there soon. Hopefully others get inspired by your bravery and your honesty and just your sheer personality and love for adrenaline. So thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
You've just been listening to the As Told by Nomads podcast. For more ways to reach out to Tayo and to use your difference to make a difference, head over to www.tayoroxon.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.